CataractCoach.com podcast series, episode number 55, with Dr. Ashraf Armia from Egypt. Welcome back to the Cataract Coach podcast. And today, my very special guest is Dr. Armia from Egypt. You've seen him on the podium in many meetings. In fact, I was just in Florida at the Telling It Like It Is meeting run by Dr. Bob Yosher. And you've been a part of that meeting for many years.
Exactly. So
welcome to our podcast. Thank you for doing this.
I'm really honored that you are selecting me to be one of your broadcast selections. This is a great honor for me. So thank you so much, Uday.
Oh, my pleasure. Now tell me, how did you get so involved in ophthalmology teaching?
This is a very long story, Uday. Very long story. I don't know if you know that I come from a family of ophthalmologists. My father is a great surgeon, ophthalmologist, and I own everything of what I have now to my father. He teach me everything. So he used to take me to the clinic and operation before I entered the medical school, since the secondary school.
Since you were a child.
Since I was a child. I think 1984, like this. So I was really a child, but he made me love his way in dealing with patients. I was so happy. He's so kind, and I learned from him how to be kind person, really. So I didn't thought that I was going to be anything in life except like my father.
Yeah, that's so important. To be kind to patients is so important. The patients don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Exactly. This is so true. He taught me, he even let me sterilize with him before medical school in his operation. Wow. Can you imagine this? I cannot forget the time that he told me, go do what I'm doing in sterilization and come to me. You are just going to help me. At that era, it was an intracapsular with a 6-0 silk suture. Very long time. With the cry, remember this. So since this, I got fond of ophthalmology, and I want to be like my father. I want to be famous like my father.
Oh, I love that.
Exactly. So everything I'm doing now, I'm thinking how he was doing, and I'm imitating the same. Even my voice, the same as he was doing.
So big influence on you, but you've taken it to the next level. You're of course a fantastic ophthalmologist, very talented surgeon, but now you're like a worldwide professor. I've seen you in many countries.
Since I will tell the story because no one knows the story. Since 2014, I took the decision to be on the international level. I want to be not an ordinary ophthalmologist. I want to be more and more in the international level, and I want to transform all I know to everyone worldwide. So why? Because I am very fond of education, and I want to teach. I want to spread my knowledge. Always my father told me, as much as you are going to teach, as much you are going to be happy.
Right.
So this is what...
There's another important topic too, is the more I teach, the more I learn. I mean, to teach a topic, you must truly learn it inside and out.
To prepare a topic, you read a lot.
Right.
And you read from everyone. And you learn from everyone you are preparing your talk to. So it's like teaching yourself from everyone. On the podium, very important to read the eyes of the people.
Interact with the audience. See where the audience. See how they enjoy it. Are they losing interest? Are they gaining interest? Do they have questions?
As much as you are traveling, you are learning a lot from everyone.
Right.
Always, I believe that everyone has a talent, and you should know all the talents of everyone. You have one talent. But right. Everyone has a talent.
So 10 years ago, you just decided, I'm going to be an international teacher for ophthalmology.
Exactly.
And you did it. But that seems like such an impossible task. It seems so difficult. How do you achieve this?
This is what I push everyone now to do what I'm doing. It just needs to know your way, to prepare the way in the perfect way, educate yourself more and more, love people you are dealing with, and the most important, build a team. Mm-hmm. Building a teamwork can let you do the impossible. And I must thank everyone helping me since 2014. It was like a big luck. I met most of the KOLs in the world.
So the key opinion leaders.
Key opinion leaders, really.
Yes.
I can say the names because they deserve it. Since I met Arthur Cumming, Shiraz Deya, Francesco Caronis, Lucio Parato, Bobby Osher, and from Egypt, Professor Fathi Fawzi.
Yes.
This, it changed my life in the way of thinking in ophthalmology, how to build it in the more international level. Because you know that in our region, Middle East, it's not the way that the world talk about ophthalmology. It's a different way, completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
So because of these people, I start to change how I'm thinking about ophthalmology. And when I build this huge teamwork, we start to innovate a lot of way of teaching and education, building a lot of courses, building a lot of team in many meetings. So we are attracting the young ophthalmologists, which is the most important people, in my opinion.
That's the future. The future of our specialty are the young ophthalmologists, for sure.
This is so true. During the Corona time, everyone stays at home.
Right.
At that time, I cannot stay at home. I don't like this way. So I thought to build a new society for teaching online. And it was the first time to do something like this.
Wow.
We created Gerso, not only me, but me, Sunil Shah, Magid Nisi from UK. And we already built a society. Gerso was a huge work for 2 years.
Tell me what Gerso stands for, G-E-R-S-O. What does it stand for?
Global, Gerso, Global Education for Ophthalmology Education. It's a society for education, virtual. And for two levels, the young ophthalmologist and the intermediate and advanced. And at that time, you know that everyone was staying at home. No one is working. Everyone has a good time. So when I attach it to ask someone from the States, I got a lot from the States, a lot from Europe, a lot from South America. And everyone was willing to help. So we built a huge community in Gerso. Mm. And in 2 years, we made around 52 meetings.
Wow. Every other week there's a meeting.
Every month we have two meetings.
Right.
And already recorded and all online.
Wow, it's a great library now.
Exactly. So this was the first platform for education for young ophthalmologists, which I really fond of. I love teaching young ophthalmologists because I learn a lot from young ophthalmologists.
Sure. And
yes, definitely. They have a lot. You know, the young since 10 years is different than the young from nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think like each other at all. They are more fast, more in the technology. They want to listen a lot. They want to do more.
Right.
So,
no, for sure. It's a different approach. The new generation does things differently. They consume content very quickly.
Exactly.
And they also learn very quickly. Better than my generation, for sure.
Exactly. And you should know what they need to deliver the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important. So this is how I'm happy from what I'm doing. And a lot, I can say more and more, because we are building two new societies in our region, Middle East and North Africa, because I want this region, everyone to know that we have huge knowledge, huge experience.
And resources.
A lot, Uday. We are finishing two societies, one in Egypt, soon it will be announced for education. Wow. And one in North Africa, in Tunisia, it will be announced by this week, just for education for young ophthalmologists.
Well, that's fantastic.
The level of surgery, yes.
That is fantastic. I have the same philosophy as you. You have to nurture and help the next generation, because they're going to do things that are bigger and better than we ever even dreamed about. And so if we can help them along the way, get our knowledge to them, and they'll take it to the next level.
Totally true. You know, I learned a lot from your videos of how you are teaching, you are building the knowledge.
Right.
You have your own way. I can read
yes,
it.
For sure.
Yes. And what you are pressing on the video, this is very crucial. This is what I'm learning from this this technique in teaching people. You don't talk too much, but you press on what you want to deliver.
Right.
This is you.
Yeah, for sure. My other goal in cataract coaches, I want to give away all the secrets. Back when I was doing my training more than 20 years ago, you know, a lot of surgeons were a little bit secretive and didn't tell you all the things, all the little tricks, all the little techniques. I give everything away. If you watch Cataract Coach, you will absolutely, in due course, have my entire brain when it comes to cataract surgery. I'll give you everything I know.
Everyone I know watching Cataract Coach, young or adult.
Yes, I'm surprised it became incredibly popular. Like when I saw you recently in Dubai at the EPOMEC meeting, I couldn't believe I took hundreds of selfies with young ophthalmologists. Hundreds, maybe even 1,000 selfies. It was unbelievable.
Exactly. You are very famous, by the way. Very famous everywhere. And because you teach sincerely.
Right. No, for sure. Now, how do you do the next step? So I saw you so many years in a row at this big meeting with Dr. Osher. How do you get started with him? Do you just email him and say, hey, Dr. Osher, I'd love to present at your meeting? Or if my audience right now, there's an ophthalmologist who's listening, who was like you 10 years ago and says, you know, I want to present at a meeting like this. How do I get my foot in the door? How do I get started?
Since 2016, I sent the first video to Bobby Osher for the ESRS in Europe. You know that he selected only 20 videos from thousands. Right. In 2016, he selected my video for one of the 20. So I was very happy. At that time, we didn't have the chance because it's a Bobby Osher. Yes, I'm learning a lot from him. I can see him from far, okay, but I don't know him. Right. In 2017, I sent another video and it got selected. That time, he started to talk with me. Ashraf, you are different. You have your own test in cases and you have your own education points. So my videos get selected from 2016 till 2023. Every year, I have a video of the 20 with the Bobby Osher during the senior, every year for eight years, I think now. In 2019, he told me, Ashraf, I need you in my meeting in telling it like this.
Fantastic.
You cannot imagine. I was happy. Because I want to be just beside him to learn more and more from him.
Right. No, for sure. Listen, he's obviously an idol for me. He's my podcast guest number one from way back when I first started the podcast. Because he's the godfather of ophthalmic surgical video. He's the true innovator here. He started this 1985, I think.
Yes.
Unbelievable track record, 40 plus years of the Video Journal of Cataract, Refractive, and now Glaucoma Surgery too. No, an incredible man. So much to learn from him.
This is true. And at that time, he told me, you are going to present and you are going to teach in the courses during the meeting. So every year, yes. So when I finished the first year, he told me, you did a great job. I want you every year.
Wow.
So I was with him, yes, like this. And every year, the relation become more and more close and more sincere. And he's a wonderful person. He's a great man, and he deserves everything, really. He's the one.
Right. Well, my favorite part of him is that he does things his way, which is what I'm so proud of. It doesn't matter if it doesn't conform to all the rules or the suggestions. He has his way of doing it, which is, to me, it's so brilliant. And so many people love to learn from him. He's made me for sure a better surgeon.
This is true. He knows what is defect to fill it.
Right.
And if you listen to him every year in his meetings, you are going to find that he's adding more and more. He is not the man that he's repeat himself. And no, even the same technology, even the same problem, he can present it by two ways.
Right. So,
he's talented. He's really talented.
So which other meetings are you involved in internationally? So you obviously come to the Tellingit meeting with Dr. Osher. I see you at ASCRS, AAO, ESCRS. Exactly. I was sorry, IPOMEC. Which other meetings are you doing?
Since 2014, as I told you, I decided to go internationally. So I started with the ESRS in Europe to send instruction courses and then accepted. So strange. It was first time. Then the ASRS in America accepted. Europe accepted more and more courses. And then I started to build a team, as I told you, from different countries. So we present courses together. So we can reach in the ESRS in Europe from 5 to 6 courses.
Wow. Accepted.
ASCRS the same. American Academy the same. Then people, when they saw me a lot, and they told me, come, we need you in the skill transfers courses in the ASRS and the AO. Oh, so I started to be involved in both, in the ASRS and the academy in the skill transfers courses also, beside the instruction course. Because I can say, if say whatever the number, if we can say that we have 1,000 ophthalmologists all over the world, I can say that half of them need education and skill transfer in surgery.
Sure.
They cannot have this. You should dedicate, I can say, 1/3 of your time for education for young ophthalmologists. This is very crucial, because I always say, I don't know, maybe when I become older, who is going to do the cataract surgery for me? Maybe one of them. And if he's not skilled, he's not going to have a good results. So why? If I what I can do, everyone can do.
Right.
This is normal. This is, you have the same talent. You are humans. But as you build your talent, you are going to do the same. If you didn't build your talent, you are not going to be the same. But everyone can do the same.
No, great points. I think the skills transfers courses are actually important to get some that hands-on training. If you want to learn an advanced technique, let's say like intrascleral haptic fixation, or you want to learn even DMEC, it's so much easier to have someone who's experienced sitting next to you in a wet lab and saying, here's a little trick. Let me show you this. So it's one thing to watch a video, which obviously we all learn by watching videos, but it's even another level to have the hands-on with an instructor next to you.
And very important, when you teach your point of teaching. Don't present as you are doing what is impossible.
Right.
Because nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Teach the way you make it easy, how it was a difficult and you make it easy and you have this good result. If you didn't teach this point, you didn't teach anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing. If the audience didn't get points that we are, when they are home, back home, they can do what you do You didn't do anything. They are
You have to do more than say it. You have to teach it so that they are effectively, they have learned it and their hands can do it also.
They are not going to see, they are not coming to cinema with a popcorn. They are coming to learn.
Right.
It's not just a movie. No, it's not just a movie. If the movies, and this is what I really experienced from Bobby Osho. If your movies, when you present in the podium, does not have a teaching point, you didn't do anything.
Right. Right, for sure. He's also great at one important thing, Dr. Osho, which is doesn't show the perfect cases. Doesn't show a case that he shows his complications. I think he's one of the very first surgeons from many decades ago who surprised the world by going to the podium and showing complications.
As much as you work, as much as you're going to have complications. Right. If you don't have a complication, you are not working.
right, no, for sure. And those obviously become the most useful videos, is the ones to learning how to deal with complications. Like you said, if you operate, you're going to have a complication. Whether it's your hands or the patient's tissues or a combination of both, complications happen. If you operate, you will get complications. To deal with them is another story.
Exactly. You know, in Egypt, we can work on some different countries like Yemen, Sudan, North Africa. The cataract sense, the sense of the cataract and the capsule and the nucleus is totally different in these countries.
Why is that? Tell me.
I don't know why. When I go to Sudanese cataract, it's a little bit harder.
Okay.
It's sticky more to the capsule.
Hmm.
But when you do the polish of the anterior capsule after the cataract, it's an easy to go. But the cataract is so sticky to the capsule, different than maybe because more sun, I think so. More sun, more
UV light.
Yes, more pigments, maybe because they are deeply pigmented. But when you do light cataracts, light iris cataract, it's different than dark pigmented patients. So when I do with cataract for North Africa, some of them have very light irises. It's totally different. It really does. So the sense is different. As much as you work, you are going to feel it.
Right.
Even the sense of the capsule, the texture of the anterior capsule, it's totally different between countries. This is what I felt when I'm working.
Yeah, I think we all realize that as surgeons when we do thousands of surgeries, that there's a spectrum of kind of tissues to expect.
Exactly.
So, and then certain populations may be different sections on that spectrum. But we've all seen in our clinic, patients with the light-colored irises can have very little post-op inflammation. For some patients who have a darker iris like me may have more post-op inflammation. So we've certainly seen it there. Yeah, I think that's actually an important point there. You've got to tailor your technique and what you're doing to the patient population you're at. Similarly, like David Chang has a famous study where he says, okay, he'll go to the Himalayan Eye Care Project.
Yes.
He's going to have Sandak Rui to do MSICS, and he's going to try to do phaco and see which is better. Well, MSICS has better outcomes.
So exactly.
For that population, the MSICS is better.
See, this is the difference. This is really the difference between population. This is why when you see surgeons working from different countries, even in the videos, you can imagine that you can feel that he's not working the same way I'm working. Yes, he's not working the same way because the cataract or the surgery in this country is different than the cataract and surgery in this country. You can feel it when you see a lot of people working from different countries in the videos.
You know, when I was a young ophthalmologist, I didn't understand it. I did not appreciate that. But then with experience, you start thinking like, yeah, you're absolutely right. There are big differences there.
Yes. You know, one of the most important things that I'm looking forward in the rest of my life is to build ophthalmology world community.
Right.
That aiming for education and sincere relationship with each other. we are not just surgeons or doctors. We are humans from the start.
Right. Right.
And if we get close to us, to each other, in this way, we can do huge work.
For sure. I think for us in the U.S., I can tell you my own personal experience in the U.S. situation is that I wish a lot of these societies were more inclusive. Because what ends up happening from my outside perspective, in my opinion, is they become little clubs, little cliques.
Exactly.
And they become a little bit, they become a lot exclusionary. So it's an unusual situation now, like in the U.S., both the AAO and the ASCRS, there's a system of just nominating or bringing your friends into positions of leadership. And so for a young outsider, let's say, who's looking at this, it seems hopeless, like there's any chance of becoming ever involved.
Exactly. This is what, yes.
This is to be more inclusive, I think it's so important to allow these more people to be kind of more involved in your organization. But I don't know if that'll happen.
It will happen sooner or later, because it is not important that you bring your friend to the position. It's important to bring who deserves the position, who is willing to work in a teamwork. Because without a sincere teamwork, nothing can continue. Nothing can continue. And this is what I was aiming for 10 years now, to build a huge global network of very human ophthalmologists that they want to educate, and they want to spend some time to educate not the position, but from inside, they are willing to educate.
Right. No, all such important points here. I mean, this is... Now, is there an Egyptian meeting that you're involved in?
I have two Egyptian meetings I am involved in. The Research Institute of Ophthalmology meeting, which I love this institute. They are doing a lot in the research. I respect them, all of them. And for sure, my meeting, which is our meeting, it's a Watani Eye Hospital meeting. It's you know that our hospital is one of the leading hospitals in the region. It's a huge right. hospital. You are invited this year.
I'll be there later this year in Cairo.
It's a huge hospital. It is 6 floors, 12 eye theaters, wow. and another 4 theaters. So it's the total is 16 eye theaters, fully equipped Lumeira 700. We have 3 platforms. We have all the phaco machines, you know.
You have everything.
Everything. You are going to see the hospital. You are going to visit it, definitely. We have 4 suites, reflective surgery. We have 24 eye clinics. We have the Research Institute of Ophthalmology also, with the only a private institute in the country, have a research institute approved by the Ministry of Health. So I'm very proud to be part of this. And we have our annual meeting. It's a huge meeting. These are the only 2 meetings, because I can't do more than that in Egypt.
Yes. No, because how can, if we have a listener or a viewer who's interested in coming to this meeting in Cairo, because they want to obviously learn, see your facility, but also enjoy beautiful Cairo, how can they get involved? How can they learn about your meeting?
From outside Egypt?
Yes.
Yeah, we usually announce a website, and the website has a registration and also the accommodation for the meeting. And the most more, it's very easy, and we announce it since before by 4 months, everything with the company that's responsible for the meeting, and they come easily. The visa to Egypt is very easy, and you can visa online just during arrival. Sure. It's very easy in Egypt. Very easy.
Well, maybe I can put a link down below for the viewers and the listeners if you're interested in that. I will see you there. I will be there for sure later this year.
Definitely.
We'll have a good time.
Yes. This is for sure. And also what we are doing now also that we are trying to connect 18 countries, all the North Africa countries and all the Middle East under one union, to, because you know that these countries speak the same language, they have a lot of cultural behaviors similar to each other. And we have now a global collaboration with these countries under one umbrella that uniting everything in education for young ophthalmologists and also for continuous medical education, even for advanced and intermediate level.
Well, fantastic. It sounds like a very, very great meeting. It's going to, I'm sure it'll get better and better every year. That's fantastic. Maybe you can do double. You can have the meeting live in person, but also have it broadcast over the internet.
Exactly. This is true.
Fantastic. So what other projects do you have coming out? What other projects are you working on? Anything exciting?
Yes.
So obviously you're teaching a lot, you're traveling a lot, you're on the podium a lot, many countries, you have your own meeting.
You know, since during the Corona, we made the idea, me and my friend Cosimo Mazzotta. You know, I'm doing Karate Kona since many years. And okay. We thought that we do a book, Karate Kona State of Art. And during that time, everyone was sitting at home. We sent the invitation for people. Everyone accepted, and we made the book in 1 year. And it's more in the market since 1 year, and we reached more than 10,000 in 1 year.
Wow.
Yes, and it was huge, really huge book. Then after this, we decided with another editor to do a huge book in cataract surgery. And you are part of this. You are going to write the preface of this book. And we are finalizing the book now. It's more than 1,500 pages.
Wow, that's quite the book.
More than 135 chapters.
Wow.
And all the cataract surgeons in the whole world eminent in this field are in this book. Yes. All the names you can imagine. And everyone writing his technique by himself. And for the first time, we made the companies involved in our book. So if you need to work, you have an Alcon machine in your clinic, open the chapter of Alcon, read how you use the Alcon like this, how to use Bausch & Lomb, how to use all the companies agreed to be with us. So we have one chapter for just the companies, not a commercial way, in an educational way.
Oh, that's fantastic. No, for sure.
Yes. And we also have the last chapter just for the innovations and what's coming in cataract surgery.
Oh, that's exciting.
Exactly. Artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, robotic surgery, a lot of chapters in this part, just what's coming in cataract surgery.
So tell me, what do you think is coming in cataract surgery? You were saying, so robotic, what else we have coming? Probably AI. Virtual reality, augmented reality. What's coming
is the artificial intelligence in cataract surgery. As I expected that they are collecting a huge data from the normal cataract surgeries, from many surgeons working the same technique, so they can build the programs that you can push. Start, and everything can go like this in a very symmetrical way. Collecting a lot of huge data from capsular access, huge data from divide and conquer, huge data from polishing, a lot of things. Even posterior capsular access, they are collecting data for posterior capsular access. So this is what they are doing for the artificial intelligence in cataract surgery. Many companies with many doctors, some in the United States and some in Europe. And I think the chapter will say a lot also in this. I think so. Robotic surgery, it is coming. You know that it's now in a good way in general surgery, and they are fasting in this in this technology more than ever in UK and USA. Even bariatric surgery like this. But it, so in ophthalmology, it's coming. It's coming. It's very soon. It's very soon. But I think that it's going to be for the classic cases. But more and more, they are trying to do more complicated cases also.
Right. If we look at our own clinic, let's say for cataract surgery, more than 90% of the cases are basically routine.
Yes. Yes.
Or maybe you can have a robotic device for the routine cases, and then the unusual ones, like you have to do sinuculysis or pupil stretching, then the surgeon can do those individually.
This is exactly. What else? Definitely, our region, we don't have clinical trials phase one and two. Usually, it's not in this region. I don't know why, but this is what the companies used to not to invade these countries. So this is one of my dreams, that I'm bringing clinical trials to this region. So 2024 for me, it will be new era of this.
Wow.
I'm working for clinical trials for one company for a new premium presbyopic IOL. This is for the first time in the region. There is no clinical trials phase two. So I'm happy that I'm part of this, yes. And also there is also clinical trial for intravitreal injection, phase three. So from American company. So I'm happy that I'm trying to do this, because I want to tell everyone in Egypt or in the region that this can be happen and you can do everything. Just concentrate, focus, build a teamwork, and always dream that all your dreams can come true.
Yeah, of course. Like anything else in life, it's hard work.
It's hard.
People sometimes say, oh gosh, you seem so lucky. And I said, yes, of course, because the harder I work, the luckier I get.
This is true. Really, I don't sleep a lot. I can admit this. I sleep 3 or 4 hours. I can.
Oh my goodness! I can't imagine. I like a good 7 hours, 8 hours of sleep every night.
I don't have this luxury, because I have a lot of to do, and right. I want to do. I know it is this too much, but I love what I'm doing. I really love what I'm doing.
Sure.
Yes. Really love what I'm doing, and I want everyone to do like this. I want. So when I sit with the young ophthalmologists, I tell them what I'm doing, you are going to be part. So usually, every time I travel to many countries, I collect young ophthalmologists who want to do the same, and I'm building nowadays a global young ophthalmologist to join this huge work.
Well, I think that's fantastic. To be so inclusive like that, to get the young generation in. I'll tell you, the young generation is bringing an entirely different skill set. The way they approach problems, they think a little bit differently, which I find so refreshing. When I teach the young ophthalmologists, the hand-eye coordination, because they've probably grown up playing video games, their hand-eye coordination is spectacular. And they pick things up or learn subtleties very, very quickly. I mean, as you know, when we first started off, we'd watch Dr. Osher's videos on a VHS tape.
Exactly.
And now a young doctor, anywhere they go, they got their cell phone in their hand, mobile phone, they can watch a video in high definition anywhere on the planet.
And you know, one of the most important things that I usually tell the young ophthalmologists, don't leave the data goes away. Record all your videos. Right. Even if you think it's a straightforward case, it is for you, it is a precious thing. You can save it straight, but sometimes straight cases can yield to complication, and you didn't record it.
You
lost it.
Right. It's an important thing is that there's a difference between a complication and a lesson. The difference is, if you have a complication, you don't learn from it, that's a mistake. But if you learn from it, now it becomes a lesson. Now you've gotten better.
Exactly. Learning and also taking points for your surgeries.
Right.
If you did wrong, after you finish your surgery, you are writing your data. So if you did wrong, I do hashtag what I did wrong.
Mm.
I can replay again. under the hashtag, this is my wrong.
Right. That very makes a lot of sense.
You should know what you did wrong, not to repeat it.
Yeah, that's the best way of, certainly the best way of learning. And I think all experienced surgeons like you or like me, we record every case. And I won't save the video. I have the same thumb drive that I just keep recording over. But if there is a case that is like, oh, that's a good one, let me stop and save that file so we don't write over it again.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's how we learn. In fact, at OSHA's meeting, the first case I presented there, we had a 1 hour best of cataract coach session. The first case is where the capsule breaks on me in a routine case. The posterior capsule splits right open.
By the way, this 1 hour, it was a fantastic day. I learned, for me, I learned a lot. Really.
Yeah, it was fun.
On the podium, it was amazing.
Really. Oh, thank you. But you know, I think you have a very important point that, you know, if you're a young surgeon, you better be recording every one of your cases. You don't have to save them all. You need to be able to say, hey, oh, wow, something happened. I need to save that video. I need to learn from it. Go back and watch it. Go back and studying it. Like the complication I had, I played the video back at 1/4 speed, slow motion, frame by frame to see what exactly happened here to learn.
Exactly. Also, what of my dreams that I am pushing, you know, that the companies is very important to us. And they are building the technology for us. And we are sharing and building this technology with them by our own experience. But I am dreaming that they give more and more time and expenses for education for young, more than selling the technology.
Right.
They can do this, and they have the power to do this. And if we all try to convince them for this, it will be profitable for both of them. Young will going to be more experienced by their support, and definitely for them. The companies should have a big role in education. This is what of my dreams, that companies go for this way. Some of them, yes, go for this way, but they need more and more for this.
Right, I think that's a great point. So a company can sit there and tell you, okay, for our new phaco machine, have their engineers explain how things work and what the settings are. And let's say, what does the vacuum rise time mean? How do you ramp it more? Or to explain, what is phaco power modulations? What's a burst mode versus a pulse mode and a variable duty cycle and all these concepts that their engineers have developed for you?
Yes.
You have to actually understand and learn and know what it means. Example I always give is when I was teaching residents, I said, okay, tell me about the phaco settings you've chosen. And the resident says, oh, I just copied it from the senior resident. And I said, that's a mistake.
Exactly.
You have to understand why you've chosen each of these settings. What makes sense here?
Because your hand and your brain is different than the other person.
Right.
You can modify the settings according to how you handle your probe or how you manage the tools. It cannot be the same. It cannot be the same. It can differ by 10, 20 degrees, different than him. But the end result, you are going to do the same he's doing, but different settings.
It's like driving a car. I'll change my mirrors and my seat and the steering wheel position differently than you will have your mirrors in your seat to drive the same car.
Yes, and you are going to reach the same destination.
Right.
But your way and his way. So
No, of course.
Not all the young know this. And some of the young are afraid to change, to do the mistakes. And sometimes they are using the same settings and doing mistakes, and they don't know why they are doing mistakes.
Right.
Sometimes you can work in a very high vacuum, 600, 650. But he cannot do it. And he always opened the posterior capsule. Everyone different than each other. His foot switch and how he handled the foot, different than the other person. Definitely. So
no, you should, Absolutely. You got to tailor to the surgeon. Yeah, we have a whole 10-part series on phaco fundamentals on cataractcoach.com where you can learn how to choose all these settings. What do all the numbers on the machine mean? What's the physics behind it? What's Poiseuille's equation for the amount of flow you get depending on the tube sizing?
Exactly.
So all this stuff, we explain all these things on yeah, I want to give away that information. I want you to choose your settings appropriately like a thinking surgeon.
Exactly. This is right. This is like not everyone understand this.
Yeah, no, for sure. It makes it so much more fun to operate when you understand all the settings and you can tailor it to just your technique. And you make one more important point. You said, don't be afraid of changing your settings. But change one thing at a time. Don't change everything all at once.
Everything, well, yes. And even when you work for different machines.
Right.
Don't build the same way you are doing in one machine to the other machine. Every machine has its technology.
Right.
And if you don't understand different technologies from different machines, you cannot set the machine.
Correct. The classic example is if your phaco machine is peristaltic vacuum pump versus Venturi vacuum pump. The peristaltic pump, you can set the flow rate you want, but you'll only get the vacuum once you get occlusion. The Venturi, you cannot independently change the flow rate, but you can get instant vacuum even without occlusion. So they're fundamentally different.
Totally different. Totally different. And they should understand before they change the machine, you should understand your machine.
Of course. No, of course. That's important lessons here.
And you know also what I may love, because you know this is the era of premium IOLs. This is the era of premium IOLs. And everyone wants to implant premium. If you don't understand that not every technology for every patient. And some patients cannot have a premium technology. And others can have. It's not as much as you implanting premium. It's the as much you have patient satisfaction. This is very crucial.
Right.
And if you didn't implant too much premium, they are not going to say that you are not a good surgeon. No, this is not the issue. It's the issue that how patient you are trying to make them satisfied. This is the most important. This is. Because you know the young generation now, they are trying to imitate the professors. And the professors nowadays, yes, they are professors because they're very long time implanting premium. So you can see now the young generation want to implant more and more premium early. This is not the issue. This is not the issue to implant more premium. No, you implant premium for who deserve premium. Not everyone, you're going to have a premium IOL for him.
That's a great point. Today, the day we're recording this, my cataractcoach.com video of the day is a patient getting bilateral IOL exchange to explant trifocal IOLs and go back to monofocal IOLs. This proves your point. You have to tailor the IOL and the surgery you do to the patient's needs, patient expectations. And a trifocal or multifocal lens is not for every patient.
Exactly. Also, since I started doing hard work, I am trying to build a knowledge that you should have an aim for in life. You should have a goal to reach. Don't go in life in ophthalmology that you are just working. This is not the truth. If you want to be different, you should set a goal.
And work towards a goal.
Yes. And when you set a goal and you reach it, set another goal. Don't think that you are reaching everything. You are not going to reach everything. No one can reach everything. But every time you set another goal to have more power to do more and more. If you didn't do this, you are going to reach a point and you stop. You stop learning. You stop. Want to know more technology, you stop a lot. So once you stop, this is your end.
So what are your goals now? What is on your horizon? 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? What are you? You must have some very lofty goals.
I don't want to stop. I am not the person that I say that when I reach 60, 65, I'm going to retire. I don't think I'm going to do this. Why? Because my daughter now in the medical school and my son is on the way. And they changed me totally, 180 degrees. I'm thinking now to build with them a new concept in a family way of teaching. So yes, my dream, my coming dream, that I see my daughter on the podium and I'm learning from her, and my son the same, and we are building even thoughts. I usually sit with them and building what's coming in the future, what we are going to build together. So I don't think I'm going to stop if I still have life, but I'm not the person that I'm going to stop. My goal to enter more and more in clinical trials nowadays. This is my dream, and what I'm going to do. I want to go more and more in innovations in this part, because I think this part is the more educate, the more you go deep, the more you are going to be innovative, the more you are going to change in the region that I'm living. I want to make a lot for my country. I love Egypt so much, and I want to do everything to put Egypt on the scope, to say that he's an Egyptian, he's coming from Egypt. This is really my dream. This country have a lot, and we have a huge number of excellent, brave surgeons, brave educators. I learned a lot from many educators here in Egypt and many of my professors, and I want to take Egypt to a higher level on the international level. This is my
dream. That's fantastic. I have no doubt you will absolutely achieve this. That is really, I love a goal like that, and you'll work hard towards that. And there's no doubt you'll achieve that. That'll be fantastic.
I'm really happy for this. And in the coming year or two, we are building really, definitely, you are going to be involved in this. This is 100% for sure, because it will be a very deep learning skills education of surgeons. We are building a society just increasing skills and education on the level of surgery, not for didactic courses.
Right.
Hands-on.
Right. Yeah, the didactic is one thing, hands-on is another.
Another thing, exactly.
And those young surgeons better get a lot of great hands-on, because remember, the robots are coming.
yes. So before this coming.
Well, I think those are amazing goals. I'm really amazed, and I'm very proud of all the work that you've done. I mean, it's a pleasure for me to see you on the podium at so many different meetings in so many different countries. I always learn from your lectures, and I love that you have this goal, this insight, this innovation to make this happen. And I think you'll be really successful.
The most important, that there is people like you, by the way. Why? Because you are example for the young today. And this is this fast world nowadays, lack of this. You are an educator, sincere, want to transform the knowledge to everyone.
Right.
This is becoming nowadays very, very few people doing this. Maybe because it's a fast life. Maybe because everyone wants to get his achievement. But you are example that I am willing to make the young ophthalmologist be like you. This is your goal in life. You should be like Uday. You should, when you reach a point that you are more experienced, you should have this goal for your life.
Right. To give back, and then now you teach the next generation.
Exactly, Uday. This is a lesson should all young ophthalmologists understand very well.
Right. Ophthalmology is a big worldwide family. And actually, in some ways, it's a very small family, very tight-knit. There's so few ophthalmologists in any country. There's so few ophthalmologists.
That's true. Very few.
Amazing. Well, I look forward to working with you again at upcoming meetings. For sure, I'll be there in Cairo at your large meeting later this year. Yes. I encourage any other of our listeners, if you want to go to an incredible meeting and have a great time, and come with me. I'm going to do some tourist stuff, and I'm going to see the pyramids, and I'm going to see the sites. I'll put a link down below. Please click on the link, and you'll learn more about the meeting, and we're going to have a great time. Thank you. I appreciate it so much, Ashraf. What an incredible podcast.
Thank you, Uday, so much. I'm really proud and honored to be with you. You are a great mentor for everyone, and I'm really proud to be part of your broadcast.
Oh, thank you. And I want to remind my listeners and viewers, remember, we have a new podcast every single week. Check it out. We're on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google, YouTube, anywhere you find podcasts, we are there. You can listen in the car while you're working out and exercising. And please tell your friends. Remember, too, on cataractcoach.com, the website, we have the full series of the curriculum series. We've got the full Phaco Fundamentals series. You can learn how to do your settings. We have the full Cataract Coach PDF book, totally free. Go check it out, download it, and I will catch you guys next week.